Turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Kind of goes right along with all the testimonies and things that we've heard and talked about here this evening. I started to, and I've been studying in it. I've been studying in the book of John. I've got through about the first five or six chapters of the book of John. Thought maybe I might teach on that, but I don't believe it'd be a good idea, Brother Garrett, that I teach on it until I can continue with it. And it looks like Brother Jeremy's going to be on Hebrews for another 6 or 8 months, looks like. So maybe after that I'll be able to get John. But I can. The book of Jude, I believe I can get that one in.
Amen.
Can I get an amen there? I believe I can get that one in. You know, I think maybe, you know, every other week or every third week or something like that, I could get the book of Jude in. And it's an important book.
Amen.
Man, it's only one chapter, but man, it's powerful. It's powerful. It cuts right to the core. It's got one of the greatest messages in it that I have ever run across. For the Christian believer, get that tonight. That's what Jude is talking about. Jude is what we understand and what we can read and find out that he's a half-brother to James. He's a brother to James, that he's a half-brother to Jesus Christ. I believe I've got that right. And we have scriptures to support that, and we're going to get into it in just a minute. But, you know, I want to get you a little background. It was written somewhere around 68 A.D., Most scholars think that's about where it's at. Some will vary. Some will say from 50 to 120 A.D. But it was written to the early church. It was written to the early church. The early Christians. See, that was early in the church age. At 68 A.D. That's real early in the church age. And it was written. It was written to them, and it's in a very, very important message that it was written about. And Jude, I believe, has a desire, a burning desire, to get that message across to the early church. So keep in mind that it was written to the early church. So if it was written to the early church, it was written to this church. Amen. It was written to all the church. Amen. Not the building church, but the people inside the building church. Are we in agreement there? And that's what I want to get to you tonight. That's a little background of it. Not going to spend too much time on that. But let's get in the book of Jude. We're going to get through three verses at least tonight. Three verses at least tonight. And that's all I can promise you, okay? And then we might get some more. We might not. I don't know. But we'll see. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads, dear God, before you, Lord, here this evening, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you will use this message, dear God, to help the Christian to grow, help the Christian to get back on track, help the Christian, dear God, to understand that, Father, that this walk of faith is not easy out there. But we know, Lord, that we don't have to walk it alone, and that you will help us and you will be with us. And dear God, if we would just yield ourselves to you and allow you to work in our lives, dear God, our lives could be so much better. You said you came into this world to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. So, Father, use us tonight, dear God. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' sweet name, amen. The message, the core message here is pretty simple. It's found in verse 3. And it's right at the end of verse 3, and it said that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. That's what I want you to keep focus on today. But also we look at verse 1 and we see how, do you see how Jude describes himself? He doesn't say that I am a half-brother to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't say that, he does say that he is a brother to James to help us understand exactly who he is, because if you read the Bible, you'll find out that there's more than one Jude. You'll find out that there's more than one James. And it's kind of hard sometimes to really put it together and find out exactly who this person is. But Jude, I believe with the scripture verifying it, is that person that is the half-brother to Jesus Christ. And he is the brother of James, because it says that, right? Mm-hmm. And but he speaks of himself as what?
A servant.
Now that's something we don't like. It is a little bit, in our society today, we don't even like to use that term, servant. If you look at it in the context that it's in, do you know what that means? You're a slave. A servant means a slave. None of us really like that context, do we? We don't like to use that. We don't want to be a slave to anything or anybody. Like Brother Dick said, I'm not afraid of anybody. Right? But man, that scares me to death when I get up there.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen and amen. Praise God. Right? He ain't the only one, is he, Greg? He ain't the only one. Praise the Lord. We've been doing it for a long time, and it's a scary thought sometimes. Especially when you get up there and the Lord ain't give you anything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Listen, he describes himself as a servant. How do we look at ourselves? How did Abraham look at himself? Genesis 26, you don't have to go there, but Genesis 26, I believe in 26, says that he's described by God as his servant. Isaac, in chapter 24 of Genesis, describes himself as a servant. You look at all the others. Look at Peter in 2 Peter 1 and 1. He says, I am a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ and an apostle. You look at Jude there. He says, I am a servant. I think that's pretty important that we establish some ground here, that we understand what a servant is and what a servant is supposed to do. Because if we're going to contend, praise God, if we're going to contend for the faith, we got to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to surrender and to submit all to Him. I've said this before, and I use this analogy sometimes, that you know, God doesn't want just one of your keys. He wants the whole set of keys. We want to give Him one key to one vehicle, but we want to hold on to the others, you know, so we can drive a while, right? We've already heard that in the testimonies. Man, wouldn't we be so much better, Brother Jerry, if we would just yield to that Spirit? Contending for the faith, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. But Jude, he says he is a servant of Jesus Christ. And Revelation, John, the very first verse of John, very first verse of Revelation says, John, a servant of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 and 1, Paul speaking to Timothy, Paul and Timothy both, servants of Jesus Christ. I believe that's enough evidence and enough to establish that if those men, if those people were servants of Jesus Christ, so should we be.
Amen.
But we don't want to do that. We don't want, here, that's the problem. We don't want to do that. We don't want to submit. We don't want to yield. Because a servant has to yield unto the master. A servant has to yield unto the master. A servant is a representation of humbleness. And we talked about all these men, but what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn over, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And this is Paul writing here. I think, to the Philippians, and he says, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what? But made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Anybody reading tonight? Praise God. Took upon him the form of a servant, which was made in the likeness of men. Being a servant is a choice. As we're going to get to here in just a minute. Being a servant is a choice. Jesus himself took upon the servanthood for us. God sent him here to take, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus had no reputation for himself. He didn't do it to make a name for himself. I look at Jude here and he says, I'm Jude, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you can say that here tonight, that you're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? I can say that tonight. And listen, I might not be the best servant. You might not be the best servant, but you can be a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And my duties might be different than his duties or her duties or your duties, praise God. But let me tell you something. If you are a servant, there's something for you to do. Yeah, amen, Danny. Praise God. And that's what we got to understand tonight, that we are servants, and that's what it represents. Jesus himself, it represented humbleness. It represented obedience. It represented a choice. A choice to make. If you read the thing I like about servant, I believe it's in Luke. I think it is in Luke chapter 9 where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Yeah, I love that. I'll make you ruler over many. Praise God.
Amen.
A servant. It's going to be worth it, children, after a while. But I'm not going to tell you, and I'm going to stand before you and tell you that it's going to be a smooth, easy road, because it's totally just the opposite of that. Because he says that we should be contending. We should contend for the faith. Right? That's the core message here tonight as we read and we see that. But if you would, there's three things for all you note takers out there. There's three things that I think we need to know about being a servant. And there's probably a lot more, but these are three that I kind of highlighted and I thought was important. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 7, 23. I'm going to use a lot more scripture than I normally use tonight. I'm going to give you a chance to turn there, because it is important to establish this truth out of God's Word and not my opinion. Amen. Nobody else say amen? Oh, amen. It's not my opinion that counts.
Amen.
Praise God. It's not my opinion. It's what the Word of God says that counts.
Amen.
And that's what Jude, part of the message that he's going to get across to the early church. Let's read here, 1 Corinthians 7, 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Okay? So the first thing I want to get to you this evening, if a servant or a slave, you can relate back to that, they are bought. They are purchased. Can I tell you, if you claim to be a servant of Jesus Christ here tonight, that you've been bought?
Amen.
You've been bought with something more precious than any jewels, any gold, any silver, anything in this world that is of importance. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You're bought with a price. You should be servants of God and not men. What's that saying, my friend, is that Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, is our master. He is our king. He is our leader. He is our all in all. He's why I live, praise God. There's a song about that. He's why I live. And if we get that, and we understand that we're bought, that we're purchased, then it's going to be a lot easier for us. We can't serve two masters.
Amen.
You know that? All right, let's establish that. Luke 16:13. We're still in Luke. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters. I hear you turning. I'll give you a chance to get there. No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What that means, mammon is the world. Mammon is the things of the world. Okay? And why do you say you're bought with a price? Early there, 1 Corinthians, you say you're bought with a price. You cannot serve man. You can't serve two. You can't have your cake and eat it too, so to speak, right there, okay? In other words, you can't dabble in the sin game and still be a servant of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's what we want to try to, listen. When he comes and he says, I am exhorted unto you. Listen, he says, it is needful for me to write unto you and exhort unto you. That's what Judas said. Hey, this is important, church. This is important that we understand. Because listen, what happened in the early church, as we'll get to and see here, maybe if we get time, that we'll see that there were some false teachers.
Amen.
There were some false teachers. There were some false preachers. They were taught some false messages. They were taught some things that weren't in the Word of God. They were taught some things that was telling them that they could just go out and live however they wanted to. They had the common salvation. That's all they needed, the common salvation. They turned that around to say I could live however they wanted to, just as long as they had that. Can I tell you something? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. I want to tell you something, church, here tonight, that grace that God gave us cost God His Son.
Amen.
It cost God His precious Son, and the blood was shed for you and I on Calvary's cross. That's how much it cost. Think of that when you get the little pity party going on and you say, poor old me. Man, I'm struggling here. I've got a lot. And we do. Church, I do. Listen, when one of you struggle, I struggle with you. Okay? Isn't that the way a family's supposed to be?
Amen.
Huh? Isn't that the way a family's supposed to be? If I see you're struggling, it says that we contend for the faith. There's a struggle there. That's what that means. Brother Ray, that's what that means. Man, if my sister's had a heart attack, I hurt for that. Okay? If you're having trouble with your family, if there's trouble with your children, I hurt for that. I don't hurt like you do, but I hurt because you're family and the children of God. Amen. Listen, we're not only bought with a price, we are born into the family of God.
Amen.
We're born into the family of God.
Amen.
We're adopted in, praise God. In our case, we're adopted in. But He's taken us in and give us full reign, full authority to be heirs and joint heirs. Think of that, church. That listen, we're not only bought, but we're born into it. And read over in John where Nicodemus, he couldn't really get a handle on that. Nicodemus couldn't get a handle on it. He couldn't get a handle on being born again. Can I enter into my mother's womb a second time and come out? No, it's not natural, Nicodemus. It's not natural, it's spiritual. That's how we get born again, Brother Joe, is a spiritual rebirth, an operation on the inside. And once we get that operation on the inside, church, then we become children of God.
Amen.
We were born into the family of God. Also, we have a choice. Not only bought, but not only born. I couldn't come up with another B, so I said we're going to have a choice. Huh? Joshua 24, I believe in 15, it says, choose you today whom you will serve. There's more to it than that, but that's part of it. It says, choose you today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Choose. There's a choice in the matter. You see, God loves us so much See, no one can make, you know, if I want Jacob to love me, and I believe he does love me, a little bit, he said. But there's nothing I can do to make him love me. Probably just go the opposite way if I tried to make him. I know him well enough to know if I tried to make him do something, I'd never get it done. But if I ask him out of love, he'd do it, right? I believe he would. I believe he would. But you know what? God's the same way. God doesn't make us love him. He wants us to love him. He loved us. He loved us so much that he gave his son. He paid a tremendous price. That's why I say when you got grace, let me tell you something. That grace, it's a free gift to you, but it absolutely was not free. It cost God his son. It cost God his son. He had to send his son. It wasn't a choice in the matter. That's the only way the human race would ever, ever have an opportunity to see God was through and by Jesus Christ. Through and by him and him only. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Praise God. That's what we need to understand. Then you have that choice. Every single one of us in here that are blood-bought, born-again Christians have had a choice to make whether or not to become a servant of Christ or a servant of the world. Now some of us, now this is where it's going to hurt. Because listen, I went down that road. And listen, I'm not just preaching to you because I went down that road. Some of us tries to have it both ways. Some of us tries to play the sin game outside the church. And then when we come to church, we play the church game. And you know what? Jude says, I want you to know that you can't do that.
Amen.
That's what the warning that Jude is getting across to us. Let me tell you something about a servant, and I'll get off a servant here maybe tonight. I don't know. But we understand that we're bought, we're born, and we have a choice. And I'd like for you to, if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let me get there myself. Now, I'll use this later. Chapter 15, let's pick it up in verse 12. Deuteronomy 15:12. Keep in mind, we're still talking about a servant. Servant is bought, servant is born, and a servant has a choice. Deuteronomy 15:12. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man, or a Hebrew woman be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God has blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Talking about his servant now. His slave. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman, which was also a male slave, in the land of Egypt. And the Lord thy God did what? Redeem thee. There's the bought. Okay? Redeem thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, pay really close attention to this verse right here. If you had a highlighter, I would highlight this one. And if it shall be, he shall say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because what? He loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. Here, there's a reason that the servant can go free. He's free to leave after this period of time. Now this is the custom, and you're only going to find this talked about over in, I believe it is Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy 15. That's the only place you're going to find this talked about. This servanthood and what a servant meant back then. And I want you to pay close attention. I want you to really get this because, and if it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee because he loveth thee. That's very important to get that. and thine house, because he is well with thee. And thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant for how long? He shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. I'm going to stop right there. I asked Brother Junior when I come in today, and I've asked several people what an awl was. Anybody know what an awl is? There are a few of them. Let me see your hand. You agree with a lot more of you than I thought. Praise the Lord. Well, this is not really an actual replica of an awl. It's a tool that they used to punch holes through leather, through wood. It's an ancient tool, been around for a long time. Brother Tim said he could make me one up. I don't know what that carbon fiber stuff is, because I don't think they had that stuff back then. But it's about 6 inches long. It's about what was it? Oh, that might be something out of a Chevrolet or something. I don't know. But anyway, it's about 6 inches long. It comes to a point on the end. And that slave or that servant, because he loved his master, he was free. Now get this. He was free to go. He could leave the premises. He's done served his time with his master. But he says, no, I want to stay. I want to stay because I love you. And he said if he did that, well, what he would do is that he would take his ear. Now this is, nobody made him do this. Nobody made that servant do this. He did it on his own. It was of his free will. He had an opportunity to walk out the door, but he would stand up to the doorpost and he would let the master take this right here, an awl, or something similar to this, and punch a hole in his ear. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Praise God. Let me tell you something, church. That signified that servant belonged to that master. What's it got to do with us today? Well, if I remember right, Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, okay? The Word of God is what keeps us where we need to be when we're contending for the faith. The Word of God. How are we going to get the Word of God? We're going to get the Word of God when we open up our Bibles. We're going to get the Word of God when we go home. When are we going to get the Word of God? When we hear the preacher preach. Praise God, I hope you're hearing that when the preacher preaches. That's what we got. Listen, that's what keeps us. That's why we can contend for the faith. And if we don't come and we don't participate, we're going to get weak.
Amen.
We're going to get weak. We miss one service. Listen, you know that some of us have been sick, and I miss one or two services. And I tell you what, you get weak.
Amen.
You get weak, don't you, sis? Huh? Feel better tonight?
I do.
Praise the Lord.
So
amen. Hallelujah. But he takes that awl and he bores that through there. What else does that signify? That signifies that servant of his own free will wants to serve the master. That's where we're at. If we're servants, it's up to us. It's up to us. God gives us that free will. He gives us that opportunity. Because why? Because he loves us. Amen? And he wants us to love him back, just like that servant loving his master. That's exactly what God wants us to do as servants. And listen, if you don't get anything else, you can't work enough to get into heaven. You can't work enough. You can't do enough good deeds. But let me tell you something. If you love God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength, can I tell you something tonight, my friends, that listen, all these other commandments won't be a problem in striving for the faith.
Amen.
They won't be. But you got to first have that. You got to have that love. And you got to have that love because that represents Christ and His love for the church. Christ bore the pain He bore the pain as they took that all. I know that servant had to have pain involved. Now, none of y'all want me to take you back there to the doorpost and demonstrate that going through your ear, would you? I imagine a lot of you that have an ear piercing, let me tell you something, probably felt some pain when that happened, right? A little bit. It wasn't a 16-penny nail, though, was it?
No.
Huh? I imagine that awl was at least that big. Yeah. I imagine it wasn't. I imagine it was tapered sharp to make bigger holes or smaller holes. You'll read about that awl. That's the only two places in the Bible I found anywhere that awl is talked about. And I think it's very important because both places it talks about God's children being in bondage. You see, you think, well, what you're kind of double talking here, being a servant and being a bondage. No, sir. No, sir, because when you become a servant of Christ, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Did you get that? If the Son set you free, you're free indeed. Now, because you love Him, you'll devote your life to Him in service. And that's what He's talking about, contending for the faith. Jude warns us that we can't serve two masters. The Bible warns us that we can't serve two masters. And also, let's get back a little bit to verse 1. I'm going to try to wind it up here in just a little bit. Verse 1, there's some words I want to try to... Can I stress to you tonight that when you run across words in the Bible, you really need a concordance.
Amen.
You really do. Why do you need a concordance? Because the words that you run across doesn't necessarily mean the same thing today in our English language as it did in the Greek and the Hebrew language.
Amen.
And it's very important that you get a concordance, because that concordance will help you. And I'll tell you a little bit about the concordance. If you find a word in there, there will be, most of you have reference Bibles and things like that, and it'll be like, for example, this word servant. Mine has a G1401 on it. That's a number. When you have that concordance, you go down, you know, numerically, find G1401, and you try to find out what that means. And a lot of those words I can't pronounce, okay? But I'll tell you this, I do understand the meanings. And the word servant, G1401, means slave. Literally, it says, literally, a slave. Voluntarily or involuntarily. So you have a choice to whether, you know, you can do this thing, and that's what God wants from you. To volunteer to be a servant. But let me tell you something, being a servant is not always easy. And this says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God. Now there that word sanctified, what does that mean?
Set apart.
Make holy. I like that meaning. If I looked it up and it said set apart, make holy, make pure. You know, yeah, and you're pretty much the same thing, right? But set apart, make holy, make pure. Understand that to be set apart, to be made holy, to be made pure, goes hand in hand with the love of Christ. They go together. Jesus over in John chapter 10 talks about, you know, that the children of God, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Talks about that. But listen, if you read a couple verses up above that, he says, my sheep hear my voice. They do what? They hear my voice, and they do what? They follow me. So there's a process involved in understand contending for the faith, and that's what that means. Contending means to struggle for. To struggle for, to strive for, to press toward the mark for. And you strive for that, and that's what he's saying, because let me tell you, he goes on, and we'll get to those maybe later at a later time, but he goes on and says there are false teachers, there are false preachers, and listen, people are dabbling in sin, they're dabbling in fornication, they're dabbling in all kinds of sin, and you can't Can I tell you, don't claim to be a servant of Christ if you are not faithful in following Christ. Don't claim that, because it's dangerous ground that you're walking on. I'll not back up from that. It's dangerous ground that you're walking on. Whether you believe you can fall away from the faith or you don't believe you can fall away from the faith. Let me tell you something. If you look at that word sanctified and you say, well, okay, it can be made holy, be made pure. You know, that's what you do when you have a choice and you're born again from the inside. You're born again, you're made holy, you're made pure. And you are set apart, Brother Don said right there. You are set apart. But listen, you've got to continue that race. You've got to continue to follow. Because listen, if you come up short, listen, I don't want you to come up short. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want you to come up short. And let me tell you something, it is a dangerous thing to think that whenever people say, listen, when people say that once saved, always saved, and I'm not going to back up from this, listen, if you can back that up with Scripture, pour it on it, okay? But let me tell you something. Once saved, always saved, I believe is a dangerous doctrine, if nothing else, because that lets people know, well, I get saved, that's all there are to it, and I can just live however I want to. Amen. Now, that ain't right. You say, well, they didn't get it to start with. Well, maybe they didn't. It's still a dangerous doctrine. It's a dangerous... And that, can I tell you, church, tonight, that's what Jude is trying to tell them. He's trying to tell them that's a dangerous... Because you must contend. You must struggle for. Because it is an everlasting, everyday struggle. Since you got saved, Brother Scott, has it all been an easy road, or have you had struggles? Struggles. Probably on a daily basis, right? You see, that's the way the devil, he doesn't have to fight for you before you got saved. He already had you. Amen. He already had us. There ain't too much struggle involved there. But once we get saved, we become children of God. We have robbed the devil. Jesus Christ has robbed the devil's breadbasket. Amen. He has robbed the breadbasket. He has stolen. Listen, the devil's already got him, and he said, no, they're mine now. They're mine now. That's not a very good analogy, and I'll rescind that. But let me say that the devil will fight daily. You know, you're in a spiritual warfare every day.
Amen.
Amen, right. He put a little gurgle on the end of that one. We know that. We know that. So what does he tell us to do? He said, I earnestly come to you. In other words, with all seriousness of heart, I want you to understand that I must tell you this out of love, out of kindness, but you must contend for the faith. That's the message tonight. Contend for the faith. Always contend for the faith. And like I said, I'm not downing anybody's doctrine. I'm just telling you from a standpoint as a Christian that if I thought that I could get saved and I could live however I wanted to, and that means dabbling in sin, okay? If you'll read on there, we'll get into these verses at a later date. If you read on there, he tells us that, hey, that's what's being preached and what's being taught to the early church. And listen, you better understand that that ain't the way it works. You must contend for the faith. You must struggle. You must fight. You must continue pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus for that faith. I believe faith is a struggle every day. And he also goes on and he talks about that which was once. Your Bible say that? Verse 3 at the bottom, should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He's not beating around the bush here, Brother Garrett. You say, well, you mean, Brother Danny, I wouldn't get a second chance. Man, I hope not, because we'd all be in a serious situation. But I'll tell you what that does mean. But you better take care of what you got.
Amen.
Each and every one of us better take care of what we have. It's precious. It's precious to be a child of God, to be a servant of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's precious. Take care of it. Be aware when things pop up in your life that try you and tempt you and try to pull on you. Continue earnestly, earnestly continue in the faith. I told you I'd get through three verses tonight, and that's about as far as we're going to get. Remember that servants are bought, they're born, and they have a choice.